The following program is sponsored by What's Right, What's Left Ministries and is responsible for its content.
Portions of the following program may be pre-recorded.
I am Pastor Ernie Sanders, the voice of the Christian resistance. Stay tuned. My radio broadcast, What's Right, What's Left, is coming up right now.
Independence, Ohio.
We changed our life for the better in many different ways.
Heard around the world every Monday through Friday.
Pastor Sanders is always years ahead of the rest of the media, telling you exactly what they're covering up.
This is What's Right, What's Left.
I tune in every chance I get to hear exactly what's going on with the voice of the Christian resistance.
Unabashedly cutting through the rhetoric by exposing the hard topics facing our society and world.
A lot of the other news medias don't pick up the news items like he does.
And bringing to light the enemy of freedom who are out to steal your rights, your children, and enslaving you.
You really get the truth out. I can tune into your show and hear the unvarnished truth. Thank you.
This is What's Right, What's Left with Pastor Ernie Sanders.
Good evening and welcome to another edition of What's Right, What's Left. I'm Radio Pastor Ernie Sanders. Indeed, on this February 20th, 2022, this is the voice of the Christian resistance. And we have a lot to get to tonight. But now, before we start, I want to ask all of you folks out there listening to me tonight to join with me. Prayer is important. Listen, there's power there. If you only believe that there is power there. And I want to pray for our brothers and sisters in Canada, because baby Castro, Trudeau, has brought in a bunch of UN jackbooted thugs to attack the Canadian Patriots. And so the Patriots are saying that the jackbooted thugs are speaking German. And so kind of reminds me when, during the Revolution, the War for Independence, when King George brought in German mercenaries. They were the UN jackbooted thugs of that day. And now they're doing that to our to the Canadian Patriots there. So let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord God, I just would pray. I want to hold up the Patriots, Father God, Lord, and ask, Lord, you've said not to touch your anointed. And Lord, I don't know how many of those folks are saved or whatever, but we do know, Lord, that they're fighting for freedom. And we know that freedom comes from you. It comes from you, not from baby Castro and the jackbooted thugs. So, Lord God, I would just pray, Father God, Lord, that you would come against. You would come against, that you would send them home with their tails tucked behind, and taking baby Castro with them. And, Lord, that you would be with our patriot brothers and sisters there in Canada, Father God, that you would embolden them. You know that the righteous are as bold as lions, Lord, and that you would embolden them to stand fast, and you would be with them and protect them against this Antichrist. And that's what it is, an Antichrist communist takeover, those that are trying to take away their freedoms. This we ask in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Well, the title of the message was, He Will Destroy Them That Destroy the Earth. He will destroy them that destroy the earth. And our text tonight is actually Revelation 11, 15 through 19. But we're not going to start there. We're going to start in Hosea chapter 4, because it deals with the subject tonight. Hear the word of the Lord, you children of Israel. For the Lord hath a controversy with the inhabitants of the land, because there is no truth, nor mercy, nor knowledge of God in the land. By swearing and lying and killing and stealing and committing adultery, they break out and blood touches blood. Therefore shall the land mourn, and every one that dwelleth therein shall languish with the beasts of the field and with the fowls of heaven. Yea, the fishes of the sea shall be taken away. Well, here God explains the reasons for Israel's suffering. And he's talking about their lawless behavior. Now, what it says here, you children of Israel, this application can be made exactly to the United States. because exactly by swearing and lying and killing and stealing and committing adultery, they break out and blood touches blood. This is what we get today from the Democratic Communist Party. The Democratic Antichrist Communist Party is this. That's their platform. Their platform is swearing and lying and killing and stealing and committing adultery. And they break out and blood touches blood from coast to coast. In this country, the sewers run red with the blood of our innocent babies that are murdered by these animals, by these wicked, evil, ungodly, antichrist animals that murder children. They're into pedophilia. Whatever God's word, the Bible, calls a sin, those today, those that refer to themselves as progressives, they that refer to themselves as the woke generation, they're antichrist, anti-God. There is nothing, there's not a bit, not any redeeming merit or value amongst them. They become totally, as it says, exactly the way it says over in Romans chapter 1, reprobate. And he's telling you here that, therefore shall the land mourn, and everyone that dwelleth therein. The land, the country, the earth is not destroyed by SUVs or by using gasoline-powered cars. It's destroyed by man's sin. Now, God says it. God says it's destroyed by man's sin. Everyone and anyone who argues with that's a fool. You have to be an absolute fool to argue with God. And he says that. He makes it very clear. And so here, therefore shall the land mourn, and everyone that dwelleth therein shall languish with the beasts of the field, and with the fowls of heaven, yes, the fishes of the sea also shall be taken away. So all of the environment, is suffering because of man's sin. And the very ones that are talking about being environmentalists are probably some of the worst sinners. The very worst. Now, I want to go over to Revelation chapter 11. And in Revelation chapter 11, starting with verse 15, and the seventh angel sounded, and there was a great voices in heaven saying, the kingdoms of this world are become the kingdoms of our Lord and of his Christ, and he shall reign forever and ever. Now, here, I want to jump over very quickly just to Revelation 10 and read you a verse there. In Revelation 10, in verse 7, but in the days of the voice of the seventh angel, when he shall begin to sound, the mystery of God shall be finished, as he hath declared to his servants the prophets. Well, here, God's plan for human history is being revealed. It's revealed, then all, once it is revealed, once it's, then all the prophecy will have been fulfilled. Now, we are partially, right now, aware of his plan, but not complete. Now, what it talks about, the foot of the angel on the sea referred to Gentile nations. But in the days of the voice of the seventh angel, he shall begin to sound, the mystery of God shall be finished. Well, let me go back to verse 5. And the angel which I saw stand upon the sea and upon the earth lifted up his hand to heaven and swear by him that liveth forever and ever. Well, again, those that the on the sea referred to the Gentile nations. On the earth, on the land, refers to the nation of Israel. Okay, so what he's telling you is here is that the entire earth is going to be judged. The entire earth. Now, the trumpet judgment was a partial judgment, but the veil judgment will bring in the end to this present earth as we know it. and the things which are therein, and there shall be time no longer. There shall be time no longer. But in the days of the voice of the seventh angel, when he shall sound, the mystery of God shall be finished, as he hath declared his servants prophets. Now, I want to go back to chapter 11. And the 24 elders which sat before God on their seats fell upon their faces and worshiped God, saying, We give thee thanks, O Lord, God Almighty, which art and wast and art to come, because thou hast taken to thee great power and hast reigned. And the nations were angry, and the wrath is come, and the time of the dead, that they should be judged, that shouldest give reward unto the servants, the prophets, and to the saints, and to them that fear thy name, small and great, and shouldest destroy them which destroy the earth. Okay, so those very people that are destroying the earth are the ones that are accusing. It's their sin that is destroying the earth. They're the ones that are accusing those that are not destroying the earth of doing just that. And, of course, that's exactly right out of Karl Marx's playbook. And, of course, he got it from Satan himself. Now, here, when the end of the age arrives, we see he's talking about God's plan for human history will have been fulfilled. And all the prophecy fulfilled completely. That's completely. Now, when he's referring to the 24 elders, they represent the redeemed of the 12 tribes of Israel and the redeemed of the church. That represented by the 12 church leaders of the apostles. Now, the seventh trumpet is sounded, announcing that the arrival of the King, the Lord of Lords and the King of Kings, the Lord Jesus himself. And there will be no turning back. The coming judgments are no longer partial but complete in their destruction. And if we jump over for a minute to Revelation chapter 9, I want to just go over there to Revelation chapter 9 for a minute and read 13 through 21. And we read here, starting with verse 13, if I get there. And the sixth angel sounded, and I heard a voice from the four horns of the golden altar. Well, here, the altar and the temple had four projections, one in each corner, and these were called the horns of the altar. And you find that over in Exodus 27, verse 2, in fact. One woe is past, and behold, there come two woes more hereafter. And the sixth angel sounded, and I heard a voice from the four horns of the golden altar, which is before God, saying to the sixth angel, which had the trumpet, Loose the four angels which are bound in the great river Euphrates. Now here, the word angels here means fallen angels, or demonic beings, if you will. Now these four unidentified demons will be exceedingly, these are like the Dirty Dozen, folks. These are exceedingly evil and destructive. But note, they don't have the power to release themselves and do their evil work. Instead, they are held back by God, and they'll be released at a specific time, doing only what God allows them to do. And in other words, they're being held captive, these fallen angels here, by God's angels. They're being restricted. Now, and the four angels which were loosed, which were prepared for an hour and a day and a month and a year for to slay the third part of men. And the number of the army of the horsemen were 200,000. 200,000. Listen, that's a lot. That is a lot. And in those days, it would have been almost impossible for anyone to raise an army anywhere close to that. But today, there are some countries like China or India that could possibly do that. And so, here, again, this huge army is led by the four demons, will be sent out to destroy one-third of the Earth's population. But the judgment is still not complete yet. And so here, I want to go back over to chapter 11. And again, pick it up here. Now we see that, well, let me see here. I think it's time for me to move on to Revelation 15. And I'm going to go over to Revelation 15 and verses 1 through 8. And I saw another sign in heaven, a great and marvelous, seven angels having the seven last plagues, for in them is filled with the wrath of God. And here now, the seven last plagues are also called the seven vial judgments. This is what we spoke about earlier. And they actually begin in the very next chapter, chapter 16. Unlike the previous plagues, these are universal, and they're going to culminate in the total, complete it's going to abolish evil completely. And here, it's called being filled up with the wrath of God at the end of the world, as we read this here in verse 2. And I saw as it were a sea of glass mingled with fire. And them that had gotten victory over the beast and over his image and over his mark and over the number of his name stand on the sea of glass, having the harps of God. Well, here, this is similar to the sea of glass described over there in chapter 4, verse 6, in fact. And it's located right before the throne of God itself. And this time, it is mixed with fire to represent the wrath and judgment. Now, those who stand on it are victorious over Satan and the evil beast. They are pure because these people here he's referring to, are the saints that have been faithful to our Lord. And they sang the song of Moses, the servant of God, and the song of the Lamb, saying, great and marvelous are thy works, Lord God Almighty, just and true are thy ways, thou King of saints. And so now, here the song of Moses celebrates Israel's deliverance from Egypt. Remember, over in Exodus 15, he refers to in verse 3, that the Lord is a man of war. Now the song of the Lamb celebrates the ultimate deliverance of God's people from the power of Satan. And he goes on to say here, who shall not fear thee, O Lord, and glorify thy name? For thou only art holy, for all nations shall come and worship before thee, for thy judgments are made manifest. And after that I looked, and behold, the temple of the tabernacle of testimony is in heaven, was opened, and the seven angels came out of the temple having seven plagues, clothed in pure and white linen, and having their breasts girded with golden girdles. And one of the four beasts gave unto the seven angels seven golden vials full of wrath of God, who liveth forever and ever. And the temple was filled with the smoke from the glory of God and from his power. And no man was able to enter into the temple till the seven plagues of the seven angels were fulfilled. Well, here, the Tabernacle of Testimony is a Greek translation for the Hebrew. The tent means the tent of the congregation. That's what he's referring to. It refers to the time of the Exodus in the wilderness where the Ark of the Covenant, the symbol of God's presence among his people, resided in the tabernacle. The angels coming out of the temple are clothed with white and gold and belts across their chest. Their garments, reminiscent of the high priest's clothing, well, they show that they are, that they would be totally free from corruption, immorality, and injustice. The smoke that fills the temple is the manifestation of God's glory and his wrath. And so, and what is the final word is that there is no escape from God's judgment. There is just no escape. No. Our eternal reign with Christ won't be begun until the evil is destroyed and his judgment, by his judgment, and the faithful must wait for this timetable to be revealed. It is inevitable. It will happen exactly the way it says it will right here in God's word. Now, I want to go over to Revelation chapter 4. When we talk about being before the throne of God, and I noticed that I skipped over Ephesians 1. Let me go back there, and then we'll come back to Revelation 4. In Ephesians 1, it says, starting in verse 10, and that in the dispensation of the fullness of times, he might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on the earth, even in him, in whom also we have obtained the inheritance, being predestined according to the purpose of him who worketh all things after the counsel of his will. And so here he is telling you that God was not... Well, he wasn't intentionally keeping his plan secret. And that means that's what's referred to as the mystery of his will. But his plan for the world could not be fully and totally understood until Christ rose from the dead. Now, a lot of people don't understand this because Christ had to raise himself from the dead. You say, what? Well, you see, from Genesis to Revelation, folks, It's the same. God's immutable. We see God the Father always giving the marching orders, always. We see God the Son always carrying them out, and the Holy Ghost always providing the power. In the beginning, when God the Father spoke, he said, let there be light, and Christ created that. Let's divide the waters, the heavens. Jesus did that. So God gave the Father gave the command, the Lord Jesus did the creating. He was the creator. And the Holy Spirit provided a power. But all through history, you see that, where the Father gives the commands and the Lord Jesus carries them out. And now here, you know, he hung upon the cross. He died. He raised himself from the dead. Now, once he raised himself from the dead, then his plan for the world could be fully understood. Now, his purpose for sending Christ was to unite the Jews and the Gentiles in one body with Christ as its head. We are to be, that's what he said, that there would be no difference between the Jew and the Gentile in Christ. In Christ, no difference between the Jew and the Gentile, the man and the woman, the young and the old, we're all gathered together in Christ here. Now, and again, they were to become one in the body in Christ, with Christ as the head. Now, many people still don't understand God's plan, but when the time is right, and that's what he says here, when the fullness of the times, when the fullness of the times comes in, then he is going to gather us to be with him forever. Then everyone will understand on the day On that day, all people will bow to Jesus as Lord, either because they love him or because they fear him. And, of course, we see that over in Philippians chapter 2, verse 10. But they will, every knee will bow. Now, here he goes and he says here, also, as we read this, in whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestined according to the purpose of him that worketh all things after the counsel of his own will. So here, God's purpose is to offer salvation to the world, just as he planned it to do so long ago. But God is sovereign. He is in charge. And a lot of times, folks, it seems like our lives, and right now with all of what is happening in the country, there's so much chaos going on here. But one thing we can absolute positively guarantee on is that we can absolutely rest in God's truth. Now, Jesus is Lord. God is in control. And his purpose to save you can't be thwarted no matter what the opposition does. And this is why he says that nothing can separate us from God's love, meaning once you're saved, you can never lose that salvation. You can never lose your salvation, as there are those out there that are teaching just the opposite. And so here now, I want to go back here to Revelation chapter 4. And in Revelation chapter 4, here, verses 1 through 5, we read this. After this I looked, and behold, a door was opened in heaven. And the first voice which I heard was as it were of a trumpet talking with me, which said, come up hither, and I will show thee things which must be hereafter. And immediately I was in the spirit, and behold, a throne was set in heaven, and one sat on the throne. And he that sat was to look upon like a jasper and a sardine stone. And there was a rainbow round about the throne, in sight like unto an emerald. And around about the throne were 24 seats, and upon the seats I saw 24 elders sitting, clothed in white raiment, and they had on their forehead crowns of gold. And out of the throne proceeded lightnings and thunderings and voices, and there were 7 lamps of fire burning, which are the throne, which are the 7 spirits of God. Now, here we see, here, you know, I'm going to have to get me, I've done a lot of preaching today, and I'm going to have to try to stretch over here in the studio where I have sitting down, if I can reach it, a bottle of water. And I got it. Boy, did I need this right now, because I am about to lose my voice, I think. So let me just take a little swig of this water. Oh, that felt good. It's nice and cold. Anyhow, let me pick it up where we left off here. Now, chapters 4 and 5 record glimpses into Christ's glory. Here we see into the throne room of heaven. God is on the throne, and what's he doing? Well, he's orchestrating events that here John will record. Now here, let me just say this. When he says, I looked up and behold, the door was open in heaven. That door wasn't looking out there, as many people get this idea, way past the stars and the moon and all of these things. He's talking about a dimensional that, you know, as we see many times through Scripture, a door is open above. Well, the door was open in the upper room. Lord Jesus, all of a sudden, he steps out, he appears. We see there up on the mountain, in the fog and in the cloud upon the mountain, the door opens up and God himself steps out. We see with Jacob, he's lying down and he looks up, and right above him, a door opens and a ladder comes down and angels start walking up and down the ladder. So here we're not talking about millions of miles away. We're talking right above him. We see a door opening here, and it says in heaven, and the first voice which I heard was as of a word trumpet talking with me and said, come up hither. Now, this is a type of the rapture of the church. This is a type of the rapture of the church that you're seeing here. And so now here we see in chapters 4 and 5 a glimpse into Christ's glory. We see him onto the throne room of heaven. God is on the throne orchestrating the events that John is going to record here. Now, just as today the world is spinning out of control, and of course the God of creation is going to carry out his plans as Christ initiates the final battle with the forces of evil, John shows us heaven before showing us earth, so he will not be frightened by all these future events. And I mean, things are happening there, and we're going to be talking about this week, folks. You're out there listening, you don't want to miss any of the programs this week, because we're going to bring you some startling things here, believe me. And so here, as we see this, the first voice that sounded like a trumpet blast, of course, that was the Lord Jesus himself. And how do we know that? Well, we know that if we just jump right back here to Revelation chapter 1, and we go over to, if I can find it, verse 10, which I'll find it here. It was the Spirit on the days, Lord. I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day, and I heard behind me a great voice, as of a trumpet, saying, I am Alpha the Omega, the first and the last. What thou seest, write in a book, and send it unto the seven churches that are in Asia, unto Ephesus and Smyrna and Pergamos and Thyatira, and unto Sardis and to Philadelphia and to Laodicea. And so here, four times in the book of Revelation, John says he was in the Spirit. And now, this expression means the Holy Spirit was giving him a vision, showing him situations and events that he could see with mere human eyesight. Now, of course, all true prophecy comes from God through the Holy Spirit. How do we know that? Well, we find that out if we go over to 2 Peter, chapter 1, verses 20 and 21. In fact, now here, who are these 24 elders? Well, let's go, and it says, and around about the throne were the 24 seats, and on the seats I saw 24 elders sitting clothed in white raiment, and they had on their heads crowns of gold. And out of the throne proceeded lightnings and thunderings and voices. And there were seven lamps of fire burning before the throne, which are the seven spirits of God. Now, since there were 12 tribes of Israel in the Old Testament and 12 apostles in the New Testament, the 24 elders in a vision represent all the redeemed of God. Remember the purpose to bring the Jews and the Gentiles together in Christ. And here, and that's for all time. So both before and after Christ's death and the resurrection, the symbols here that we see this, it symbolizes all those Jews and the Gentiles that are now parts of Christ's body here at this time in heaven, okay? And so here, but when he looks at the rainbow, And he says, he that sat upon it looked like a jasper stone, and there was a rainbow. Now, the rainbow is mentioned four times in Scripture. Genesis 9, Ezekiel 1, right here, and in Revelation 10. Now, in all four times, you see, a lot of people don't realize this, and here I have to laugh because LGBTQ, lewd, gross, belligerent, transgressing queers, the Sodomites used the rainbow as their symbol of their independence, but they don't realize. Now, they have six colors in their rainbow, which is the number for man, the number for man. But God's rainbow has seven colors, which is the number for perfection. Now, again, they don't realize when in Cleveland and at the White House, when they fly the Sodomite flag, the rainbow flag, when they fly the Sodomite flag over the City Hall in Cleveland and at the White House, those fools don't understand. They're asking God to judge them. They're asking God to judge them because in all four times it's mentioned in Scripture, it's for one, it's a sign of God's judgment, but also for his mercy, God's judgment and his mercy. Now, this time here, that in this rainbow in Revelation 4 is a different and from the other three in the sense that this is the Bema Seat judgment. This judgment is for the saints, and the judgment is for their rewards. It's not about their punishment, but the rewards that they're going to receive for what they did in their bodies while they were alive on earth. And so here, but in other cases, well, starting, say, in Genesis 9, God's judgment upon the earth. God eliminated approximately 8 billion people, but in his mercy, he saved the 8. And so we see that in the other places. It's always God's judgment and then his mercy. He always shows mercy after judgment. And so here now, I want to move over to one of my favorite passages in all of Scripture. But let me go just a little further here before we do that. Here he says in verse 5, "And out of the throne proceeded lightnings and thunderings and voices, and there were seven lamps of fire burning before the throne, which are the seven spirits of God." And so here, in Revelation here, the lightning and thunder are connected with all of the events that are going to be happening, the significant events in heaven. And they remind us of the lightning and thunder, say, at Mount Sinai, when God gave the people his laws. Now, the Old Testament also often actually uses this kind of imagery, if you will, to show God's majesty and God's power. Psalm 77:18, exact. And then here, the seven spirits of God is another name for the Holy Spirit. And here, in fact, let me jump back here 1 minute here just to go and read Revelation, if I remember, maybe. Okay, 1:4. "And to the seven churches which are at Asia, grace be unto you and peace from him which was and which is to come, and from the seven spirits which are before his throne." And so here now, the sevenfold spirit is another name for actually the Holy Spirit. The number seven is used throughout the book of Revelations to symbolize perfection and completeness. And again, here we see also there's the seven spirits of God spoken about, and that actually is another whole sermon, because we know that the seven spirits of God is source of all truth. It's the source of all truth. John 14, verse 6, and John 17, or John 14, 6 and 17, and 1 John 2, 27. And, of course, what we just read. Well, and we're going to, as we continue to read here in Revelation. So now I wanted to, I got to take another sip of my water. I've been doing a lot of preaching today. And Revelation 22, I want to go over to Revelation 22. Now, this is one of my favorite chapters in all the scripture, right here, Revelation 22. And he showed me a pure river of water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding out of the throne of God and of the Lamb. Here, the water of life is a symbol of eternal life. Now, Lord Jesus used that very same image. Remember when he was spoken to the Samaritan woman at the well? Here, what is it? It pictures the fullness of life with God, and it pictures eternal blessings that come when we believe, when we absolutely, positively, and completely believe God's word. And what will it do? Well, this water he's talking about, he's talking about a water that will quench your spiritual thirst too, is what he's referring to. And he goes on to say, in the midst of the street of it, and on either side of the river, was there the tree of life, which bare 12 manner of fruits, and yielded her fruit every month. And the leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations. Well, this tree of life is the tree of life in the Garden of Eden. And Adam and Eve sinned. They were forbidden to eat from the tree of life because they could not have eternal life as long as they were under sin's control. So because of the forgiveness of sin through the blood of Jesus, there will be no evil, and there will be no sin in this city. We will be able to eat freely from the tree of life. And when sin's control over us is totally and completely and absolutely destroyed. And so, we'll see. This is where you have real eternal security, because our security with the Lord will be eternal and absolute. And then here, he's asking here, when he says, in the midst of that other street on either side of the river, there was the tree of life, which bare 12 manner of fruits, yielded her fruit monthly, and the leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations. So why would the nations need to be healed? If all the evil was gone, John is quoting from Ezekiel 47, verse 12, where the water flowing from the temple produces trees and healing leaves. So he's not implying that there will be illness in the new earth. He's emphasizing that the water of life produces health and strength wherever it goes, is what he's telling you here. Now, and there shall be no more curse, but the throne of God and of the Lamb shall be in it, and the servants shall serve him. No more curse. Do you know what that means, folks? That means there'll be no sickness, there'll be no pain, there won't be any cancer, there definitely not going to be any COVID-19, but even more so, there won't be those killer shots that they're giving people. They're killing people left and right. They're killing people. It's with those bogus, they're not vaccines at all. They're bioweapons. Bioweapons, and people someday are going to find out. We've been trying to tell you for 2 years. People are dying left and right. The funeral homes are running 7 days a week. People are dying from those bogus. And NBC, ABC, CBS, and Fox News, they're all in on it. They're promoting this. They continue to promote, and many, many people, without discernment, those that did not have good discernment, they took the bogus, they took the deadly shots, many of them. Now, there's 8 different levels or kinds of those deadly, they call them vaccines, bioweapons. Some are really lethal, others are not so lethal. But they're all bad. They're all bad. That's why there's so much resistance. People with discernment know that. And that's why they refuse to take them. He goes on to say, and there should be no more curse, but the throne of God and of the Lamb shall be in it, and his servants shall serve him. And they shall see his face, and his name shall be in their foreheads, and there shall be no night there. And they shall need no candle, neither light of the sun, for the Lord their God giveth them light, and they shall reign forever and ever. And he said unto me, these are the sayings that are faithful and true. And the Lord God of the holy prophets sent the angel to show unto his servants the things which must shortly be done. Behold, I come quickly. Blessed is he that keepeth the sayings of the prophecy of this book. And I, John, I saw these things and heard them. And when I had heard them and seen, I fell down to worship before the feet of the angel which showed me these things. Then he said unto me, see thou do it not, for I am thy fellow servant, and of thy brethren, and the prophets, and of them which keep the sayings of this book, worship God. Well, here, when he says no more curse again, means nothing accursed again will be, will be in God's presence. There will be nothing accursed. There will not be any transgenders or any sodomites. There won't be, any deathocrats out there that hold to the people that embrace everything that is called sin will not be there. And we'll see why that is in just a minute as we continue to go through here. And so here, when he says in verse 8, and I saw these things and I heard them. What is he talking about? He says, well, you know, hearing or reading an eyewitness account is the next best thing to seeing the event yourself. So John witnessed these events, and he reported in Revelation and wrote them down as we could see. And believe as he did, if you have read thus far, you have seen. And that's the thing, have you? You have seen, if you also believe. And then he says this, and when I heard and seen, I fell down to worship before the feet of the angel which showed me these things. Then said he unto me, see thou do it not, for I am thy fellow servant of thy brethren and the prophets, and of them which keep the sayings of this book, worship God. And so the angel tells John what to do after his vision is over, instead of sealing it up with his right, which he has written. That's what Daniel did. Remember, Daniel was told to seal up the book. The book is left open so that all can read it and understand. Daniel's message was sealed because it was not a message for Daniel's time, but the book of Revelation is a message for John's time, and it's equally relevant today. As we know, our Lord's return is imminent, and it could be very close. With all of the things that are happening out there, with them changing the DNA in human bodies, there's many, many things that folks that I would say that are unmistakable signs of the Lord. You know, how much will God tolerate? I'm amazed he tolerated this much thus far. And he said unto me, seal not the sayings of the prophecy of this book, for the time is at hand. He that is unjust, let him be unjust still. He which is filthy, let him be filthy still. He that is righteous, let him be righteous still. And he that is holy, let him be holy still. And I behold, I come quickly, and my reward is with me, to give every man according to as his work should be. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. Now blessed are they that do his commandments, and they that have the right to the tree of life, that they may enter through the gates of the city. But then he says this, and this is why I'm preaching and continuously preaching on making your salvation sure. Tonight, Pastor Hal preached an excellent message on repentance. There are those out there today that preach that repentance is not necessary for salvation, folks. That could not possibly be farther from the truth. Repentance is completely necessary, absolutely necessary for salvation. And again, the Lord Jesus made it extremely clear. In fact, the John the Baptist came preaching repentance. Repentance is necessary, absolutely necessary for salvation. And then he goes on, and John says, for without are dogs and sorcerers and whoremongers and murderers and idolaters, and whatsoever loveth and maketh a lie. Now the dogs here, this is a lot of people misunderstand that, and people will say, why does God hate dogs? I mean, he created them. He's not referring to four-legged canines. There's five places in Scripture where sodomites, where what they call, what the world out there calls gay people, or what the world out there calls LGBTQ, which, and I've given the lewd, gross, belligerent, transgressing, queer definitions. God's word calls it an abomination. An abomination. See, God doesn't go by public opinion polls. You see, God has set the boundaries. And they don't change a bit. I had a woman one time tell me, she came and she told me, my God, she says, is non-judgmental. My God is tolerant. He accepts people just where they're at. He loves them right where they're at. He doesn't try to change them. That could not be farther from the truth. When it comes to being judgmental, and when it comes to tolerating sin, let me tell you, there was no man that ever walked the earth that was less tolerant of sin than the Lord Jesus himself. And I told this woman, by the way, who had four children, all by four different men, and she had not married any of them. And she told me that she was accepted in her church. She went to United Methodist, is what she said. And so here, folks, this is what he says, for without our dogs, he's talking about homosexuals, sorcerers. Let me just tell you this. Pharmakia, where you get the word pharma, pharmacy. Pharmakia means sorcery. It means sorcery. It means witchcraft. Okay? So God has given us the apothecary. This is what God has given us. He's given us the herbs for the healing of the nation. And he showed me a pure river of water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding out of the throne of the Lamb. In the midst of it were of the street, on either side of the river was the tree of life, okay? With 12 manner of fruits, and yielded her fruit monthly. And the leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nation. So God has given us his herbs, his natural herbs and plants, for our healing. Now, but Big Pharma has given you drugs, drugs that are killing people in huge numbers, killing people in huge numbers. Folks, the world out there, the Democratic Communist Party, they're for the drugs. Let me finish this here. And he goes on to say, "And I, Jesus, have sent mine angel to testify unto you that these things in the churches, I am the root and the offspring of David and the bright and the morning star. And the Spirit and the bride say, Come, and let him that heareth say, Come, and let him that is athirst come. And whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely. For I testify unto every man that heareth the words of the prophecy of this book. If any man shall add unto these things, God shall add unto him the plagues that are written in the book. If any man shall take away from the words of this book of the prophecy," boy, that's where you get the NIV, for about 6,500 words taken away. "And if any man shall take away from the words of this book of this prophecy, God shall take away his part out of the book of life and out of the holy city and from the things which are written in this book. He which testify these things saith, Surely I come quickly. Amen. Even so, come, Lord Jesus. And the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen." Well, here, we're running out of time for tonight. But I just want to say, as we always say, folks, make your salvation sure. There's nothing that is so important to you as making your salvation sure. And remember, repentance is absolutely necessary for forgiveness. And forgiveness is absolutely necessary for salvation. And so you want to make sure, if you have doubts. Now, if you have said that sinner's prayer and if you ask the Lord into your heart, there will be a change in you. There will be a change. You know, when you get born as a baby, immediately after you're born, you start to grow, and you grow. When you become a new creature, born again, if it's real, if you actually born again, you will start to grow, and you will grow in the faith. If you have said that, made that so-called sinner's prayer, and there's been no change, and there's been no change, and you act the same, you still do the same things, you still have the same old friends, you just said that, and sometimes there are people that will do that. They will say that just to satisfy someone who's given an invitation. I mean, and there are people out there that will press. And there are people that it's called body count theology, where they go out and they will try to press upon people to say the sinner's prayer. They push real hard, and they want to be able to say, "Well, I got another soul saved today." Folks, that's body count theology, okay? It's got to be real. See, that person has to really repent. And all you have to do, preacher, is give them the word, give them the God's word, God's truth will work. Okay, well, we are out of time for tonight, so as we do every night at this time, we say good night, God bless, and always, always keep fighting the fight. Good night.
Thanks for listening to the Voice of the Christian Resistance. What's Right, What's Left, hosted by Pastor Ernie Sanders. To learn more about our ministry, please visit us online at www.wrwl.org. Please tune in next time for another edition of What's Right, What's Left.
The preceding program is sponsored by What's Right, What's Left Ministries and is responsible for its content.